Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Man, let's get to the top three.
Time for Dukes and Bill. Top three. The top three stories of the day.
Can I count it off?
All right, Brian, we started the day. Do you have that Mike Bell where, as we started the program, he was a little bit flustered as we started talking about Atlanta United because Mike and I are still scratching our heads. In the middle of the match last night, literally, we're texting each other. I can't repeat what the text said because it's inappropriate for radio. But let's just say we were on the same page, and it sort of felt like this.
That's basically how I felt. And walking out, and by the way, on the MARTA ride home last night, a lot of unhappy campers. Now, if you can understand why Michael Parkhurst was up front and why Remedy was where he was in Nagby, Jason will try to explain it to us coming up at 6:20. But I can tell you, as this was going down, this version of the diamond formation we were running, it had a lot of guys who know a lot more about soccer than I do pretty fired up. Unfortunately, Carl, we're just not getting the shots. We're not creating the chances. Everybody's got a theory about Pity Martinez, and we'll ask Jason about it. You know, why he's not where he's at. Is he just worn out because he's played so much soccer, you know, before he got here to United this year? I don't know. But I do know this. Barco is kicking butt. He's definitely found his extra gear. And Miles Robinson has been a star for this team. If not for him, we might have given up two or three goals last night.
Brad Guzan, our goalie, talking about the match. Here's what he said.
Obviously, a bit frustrating in terms of all the possession that we had. Didn't create enough chances. And on the other end, you know, at times, it's too easy for teams.
It's too easy for teams is what Brad said. And I think he's exactly right when you talk about how we concede these goals. But the other side of it is you're just not seeing the offensive firepower that we have become accustomed to. And some things have to change here over the next couple of weeks. Now, here's the kicker, guys. We'll have 2 weeks until they play their next MLS match, but then we travel to Columbus. Columbus Crew's unbeaten. So it's not like we roll in there and we're playing scrubs. I mean, this is not going to be easy. But if we're playing at the level, Mike, that we expect, we're not only going to be in these matches, we're going to be scoring 2 and 3 goals, which just hasn't happened this season.
Well, we talked about this the other day. I mean, there's really no shame in losing up in the rain to D.C. D.C. United, by the way, has got the most points. They and Columbus in the lead in the Eastern Conference with 7 points. You get 3 for a win, by the way, as you guys know. We've only got 2 points. Toronto, Montreal have 6. And I get it. You know, we've got to get more patient. Okay, you be patient. I know I got guys who can put the ball in the net. I've seen them do it. So how come the coach can't figure that out? Long story to explain on the way.
Frank DeBoer, what did you have to say about this match?
And then you see that we just missing that little bit freshness, you know, to make the difference, to get that pass to the right man or at the right speed and everything, or that first control. So we make still too many errors when it's not necessary, in my point of view.
No, in Frank's defense, he can't make guys make the passes crisper, and we're still missing a pass, that last pass, which, you know, again, we talked about Carl against Monterey, the game on Wednesday. But here's a fun soccer fact. Frank DeBoer, in his last 9 regular season league matches in Italy, in what? England, Italy, and the USA, is 0-9. 0 wins in those last 9 regular season matches. So, historically, Frank is a slow starter.
All right, man. More with Jason Longshore coming up in less than 7 minutes. Stay tuned. Meanwhile, the Hawks were in action. They lose 101-91. Mike, and Trey Young, he had a decent game. 20 points, I say this. Like, it's no big deal. He's giving you 20 every night. 6 boards, 5 assists. But Trey Young says, listen, they got down and they fought back.
We've been doing that a lot throughout this year. We get down big and then have to fight our way back in into the game. And then we'd be in the game and we'd run out of gas. I'm proud of the way we fought back to get into the game, but we need to get better at just not getting that big of a deficit, though.
Hawks were at the Magic.
Carl, that is a quality loss for us, by the way.
Oh, I agree. You know what's crazy?
Hold on, let's take it. Oh, it's a quality loss.
No, I'll take that. Are you kidding?
Yeah, please. So again, we are trying to – it's a race to hold on to that 5th seed, and right now, Carl, in the loss column, we have 5 games on the Memphis Grizzlies and 6 games on the Dallas Mavericks.
Hey!
That is a good win.
We want that pick, baby.
And the Dallas Mavericks have won a game, surprising. So this is good. So, again, for those who don't catch the drift, the trade that got us, Luka, remember the swap with Luka for Trey and all that, we pick up a protected pick. We only get to keep it if it's top five. And right now, Mavericks are in the seventh spot. So if the Mavericks fall to five, we lose the pick till next year. So we want the Mavericks to win a few more games, and we keep losing.
Come on, Luka. Show me what you got.
Right.
Put the team on your back, Luka.
And it's just because we know that Mark Cuban, it's one thing to say you're going to tank. It's one thing to say it publicly you're going to tank. And Mark got fined $500,000 because 2 years ago he wanted to get down and get a guy like Luka.
Now, on a personal note, I do have to say this. I did have the Hawks on the over. It was 24
Ooh.
Wins, 25 wins,
right,
I think
right,
it was,
right.
somewhere around there. Yeah, they're 24 and 47. So
nice.
Along the way, just as long as we win another
one.
One
more
I'll be good. That's all I'm saying.
Nobody likes a push.
Hey, Hawks Rockets tomorrow, by the way, here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, story number three is obviously the NCAA tournament. We'll talk Braves here in a second. But I want you to hear Zion. He recorded this after Duke was named the number one overall seed in the tournament.
What's up, Duke Blue Planet? Zion Williamson here. We just watched Selection Show. We're the number one overall seed. That's great news. And, you know, we got up early, had to get treatments. You know, it felt great because we woke up ACC champions. And now we're on to the big tournament. Let's do this.
Let's do this. Can
Blue
Zion,
Planet?
Yeah, can Zion and company get it done? Here are the odds, by the way, that are out. Duke is a plus 250 to win the title. Gonzaga plus 500. Carolina plus 800, Virginia plus 800. Those are obviously the favorites, guys.
Right.
Then you get into Kentucky, 12-1 odds, Mike. Michigan State, 15-1 odds. You like Tennessee, they're 16-1 odds to win it all. Houston, the team that Georgia State is playing, 40-1 odds to get there and win it all.
That's a good Houston team, by the way. Only three losses, 31-3 they are in that. And that's a good conference for hoops, certainly. Maybe not for football, but certainly for hoops. The thing you brought up earlier about everybody sort of becoming the prisoner of the moment, okay, guilty as charged. I've got Duke going all the way, beating Carolina in their first ever matchup, which is amazing. We talked about it a lot today. They've never played each other in the tournament. What is the one thing that's holding them back? Is that perimeter jump shooting?
It is.
So, I mean, they've got to be able to hit the threes better.
Well,
that's the one thing for Duke, which is a bit of a concern.
Here's the thing. It's kind of it's give and take. In the tournament, coaches will tell you they need great guard play. If you have great guards in this tournament, you're going to be able to maneuver. Obviously, you want bigs that can shoot like Zion, okay? Mm-hmm. But not everybody has it. If you have great guards, you can usually advance. But, Mike, three-point shooting is always a big deal in this tournament. And when you look at Duke's numbers, it just doesn't scream to you that they're going to be able to get this done. 30.2% from three-point range. That's dead last in the ACC. But yet, they were crowned ACC champs.
Yeah, 47% from the floor, a lot of high-percentage stuff called dunks. So, I mean, I get it.
Oh, and by the way, only a 69% free-throw shooting team.
So that's the question about Duke, but you would argue that's why when we were joking around about it, it's hard not to go chalk when you look at some of these brackets. There's a lot of games where you could say, okay, I still take lean on Duke on that one,
yep.
Even though they've got a lot of underclassmen. Gonzaga has upperclassmen. They'll get an athletic Florida State team potentially. Virginia doesn't have a go-to guy, but their bracket is relatively easy, one could argue. And then, of course, Duke's – now people are saying Michigan State got screwed, or is Duke not lucky to have Michigan State in that bracket? Because that's the one team I think you could certainly look at and say, hey, in the Elite Eight, they could take them out.
I think Virginia has the easiest path. They're in the South region. The two seed is Tennessee. I'm not a believer. And then you start looking at this bracket, and you go, all right, so Purdue, K-State. I think Virginia has the easiest path of all the number ones. In the Midwest, it's Carolina, and obviously out west, it's Gonzaga, and then you got Duke in the east. So Duke with Michigan State, and a lot of people thought Michigan State was a number one seed. Hey, Georgia State is dancing, and they were able to win the Sun Belt Conference Championship. Here's what it sounded like.
5 seconds to go. Chisholm dribbling into the front court, up to James Wall. Wall gets fouled as the buzzer sounds. That's your ball game here in New Orleans. Georgia State has beaten UT Arlington 73-64, and the Panthers are going dancing for the second consecutive year. The Panthers are headed to the NCAA tournament, the fifth in program history.
It's a great feat for Ron Hunter and Georgia State. You know, Mike and I joke with Coach all the time about, oh, we're not going to, you know, put you out there and put your resume out there. People are paying attention. And at some point, you know, somebody's going to come along with an offer. Now, I don't know if Ron Hunter wants to go anywhere. He's not said that to me. He's not ever mentioned that on the program. But I'm simply saying, Mike, he's doing more with less. And that's the thing that people are paying attention
to. That's why I always say, I mean, you know, we had Brian Gregory here, and he flamed out, and now we brought Pastner in, and it's a very sluggish start at best, you know, with all sorts of ancillary issues to the program, which, again, is not going to affect him immediately, it looks like. I just, Ron is a, like, you don't have to tell you guys. You hear it every week on the show. Love to see this guy somewhere. Maybe, who knows, maybe it's not Georgia Tech, but he deserves a big shot. I mean, a big-time job. He's won everywhere he's been at IUPUI. I know that alphabet soup. Indiana, Purdue, Indianapolis. He's won there and got them in the dance. He's done it here with Georgia with 20 win seasons. So, yeah, I mean, I know Panther fans don't want to hear that. I want to hold on to the man, but he deserves a shot at a better job.
All right, side note with the headlines, Braves in action. Yankees, Braves playing today, but we find out that over the weekend, it looks like a couple of relievers that at least I was counting on may not be ready for the start of the season. And that's A.J. Minter, who had 15 saves for us last year in his first full season, and Darren O'Day, who was the guy we got in a trade with Gausman. He's another guy on the back half of that bullpen, and I was like, okay, he's going to help us out.
Well, we were told by Anthopoulos, you know, that's a guy, don't forget, oh, by the way, we have O'Day. Well, he's got to be out there.
He's got to be out
you know,
there.
And Fulte, he might actually not pitch till the second or third week in April. We were looking at the numbers. Newcomb still has way too many walks. So we're left with a guy that nobody's that fired up about, but Julio Teheran, as you guys know, will be the sixth time in a row now, tying Warren Spahn, that he's going to be on the bump for opening day up in Philly. Good news is he's better than he is at SunTrust when he's on the road. But, Carl, Fulte's banged up. Soraka's banged up. You know, Newcomb's walking too many. It's really Kyle Wright and Tukey you're going to have to lean on. So last time I just checked was last hour. Gio Gonzalez is not a Yankee. And I know that Liberty Media is throwing nickels around like manhole covers again. But how are you going to be able to look Braves fans in the eye if you're down 10 games, let's say, for the division, and say, oh, now I'm going to make a trade at the trade deadline? It becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. You needed to do it now. You build off winning the division by straightening things out. And other teams are in the same mess. Dodgers are saying we're going to be fine without Kershaw. They got two pitchers down.
Yep, they do.
But the Braves, I mean, this is a major situation. I'm not trying to hype this. Are you comfortable enough with all these guys? You know, we've accumulated all these pitchers, and nobody's either healthy or can keep a guy, get him at the 0-2 in the count. It just drives me crazy.
Listen to what Snicker had to say about the young arms we've got.
So you need that depth. And I told the guys, like, somebody, you might all not go north with us, but you're going to pitch here. We're going to need them all. You know, that's the thing. I mean, you try and get as many guys stretched out as you can. Because as we saw, we used 33 pitchers last year. 10 guys made their major league debut on our staff last year.
I mean, that's the argument for getting an innings eater like an Anibal Sanchez type guy, like a Gio Gonzalez.
Yeah, and the other part of that is, you know, you don't win with young pitching. You don't. You win with experience pitching and guys who just, as Mike said, are innings eaters. Part of it was a lot of the guys that got their in the rotation last year got tired. They were beat down by the end of the season. All right, guys, you'll hear Jason Longshore coming up. What's going on with Atlanta United? And can it be fixed? Find out next.
It's just, it's so exasperating. It's just exasperating.
All right, guys, it was a draw against Philadelphia, and Mike and I are sitting here scratching our heads still. We bring in our soccer guy. He is the analyst for Atlanta United. You hear him right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And, Jason, I guess my first question is, all the possessions, 71.6% of possessions, yet the goals are not there and the shots on goal are not there. Why?
It's a good question. The penetration was a little bit better this time around. It wasn't – I don't think it was as good as Monterey was. I think the Monterey game, Atlanta United played better, was more dangerous going forward. It was much improved from Cincinnati last week. It's still not at the level it needs to be. Possession's great, and having that much possession is a great place to be. You have a much better control of the match. But when you're not creating more chances and you're not scoring more goals, one mistake can hurt you. And you were hurt by a simple mistake early in the second half, and you're running uphill after that.
All right, big guy, you got to help me out with these rotations. Now, I understand that, you know, the diamond formation, something different. But what is Michael Parker's doing where he was? Nagby is a winger. Lorenowitz up front. What was going on? Explain why we're doing that.
Okay. Let's explain a couple things because there's a couple fallacies in there. Nagby never played out wide. That was in the graphic. But Nagby played as a 10 to start things. He moved into a 4-2-3-1 later, but he's played that role before. He wasn't playing a wing back, I guess would be the better way to put it. I've seen people go that way. Parker's moved to left back because he changed the formation to a 4-4-2 about midway through the first half because Philadelphia was
a non-existent attacking on the right side. You were able to move pieces around because of what the match was giving you. I think that's something that you're seeing more and more teams do. It's something we haven't seen in Atlanta very much. It's something we don't see in MLS very much with a lot of tactical flexibility. It's something we've seen in these last two matches. And I think it's worked. Go back to the move to Parkhurst to left back. Best chance of the first half was Parkhurst sending a through ball up to Pitti Martinez. His cross to Joseph goes off the crossbar. That was the best play in the first half for me in the attacking side. But then you move it around to a more of a 4-2-3-1 in the second half, and I thought the team looked even better. They improved, in my opinion, in the attack as the match went on because of those moves.
I thought so in the second half. I did.
But where are the shots on goal, Jason?
I know. They're not there. And you needed Ezequiel Barco to come in and create some of that spark, some of that penetration. And let's go back and dissect that one a little bit. The play starts with him on the left. He moves the ball centrally. It swings around to the right, but Barco doesn't stop. And that's the thing that is not happening enough right now, the movement off the ball. You're not getting enough of it. And there's two different ways to do it. Barco showed one way with his goal. Go back to the goal against Monterrey. It started with Joseph out deeper in the formation, pulling defenders with him, plays a 1-2 with Nagby. He gets in behind defenders. You're not getting in behind defenders enough. Right now, it's too easy for the opposition to sit, play a line of four or a line of five, play three or four midfielders in front of that, and make Atlanta try to find a way through it.
It's Jason Longshore, guys. Follow him on Twitter at Longshoe here on Dukes and Bell. What's the difference in Miles Robinson, or is there? What why is he playing as well as he has been playing as of late?
Confidence. I think it's as straight up as that. He's always had the physical ability. He's better on the ball than he was when he first came to Atlanta United. That's a definite. But it's confidence. And it started last year with Atlanta United, too. You started to see him late in that season be put into different situations where he would be paired up with a young center back next to him, and he had to take charge. Now, when you pair him up defensively with a player of the caliber of Rogelio Funes Mori from Monterrey, who's one of the best forwards in CONCACAF, or you pair him up with a different type of challenge like a Fafa Pico, a speedster, Miles Robinson's getting the job done. I think he's the best player for Atlanta United so far this season. I think he is a national team player for the United States very, very soon.
It's our man, Jason Longshore, guys. Follow him at Longshoe when you want to talk soccer, and he can answer your questions almost 24 hours a day. I mean, don't call him. You can just tweet him. He joins us here on the waitfor.com hotline. Jason, so what's up with Pitti Martinez? I put it out there yesterday. He's either out of condition, thought it was going to be too easy up here at the MLS, or they're just not getting him the ball because we know what he's capable of. The guy's a human highlight reel, but we're not seeing any of it.
Yeah, different league, different style. I think that's part of it. I think he's feeling the pressure as well. I mean, let's get in Pitti Martinez's head a little bit right now. He has the year that he did with River Plate. They win Copa Libertadores. He goes to become a legendary player at that club. A lot of money spent for him to come to Atlanta, a place he's never played in this league before. He hasn't played against teams like this before. It is a different style. That's part of it. I don't think he's fully fit. He didn't really have much of an off season because River Plate's run in the Club World Cup went pretty deep into December. I think that's part of it. I also think he's feeling pressure. I mean, he's being compared to Miguel Almiron, who is lighting it up in Newcastle right now. And Miguel Almiron is a completely different kind of player than Pitti Martinez. And that's tough. It's tough for him to fit into this team. It's tough for him. I think some of the comparisons and the reactions from the crowd, he's not Miguel Almiron. He's not that kind of player. He's not a guy whose game revolves around speed. He's a guy whose game revolves around skill. And right now, with him feeling that pressure, trying to make things happen, maybe pressing a little bit too much as well, it's not coming off. I hope this little break for him with the Argentine national team, I hope he gets a chance to talk to some guys with Argentina who have been through this, who have left the country, had to deal with these kinds of pressure situations, and have come through it on the other side.
Jason, we're talking Atlanta United, guys. We're going to talk NFL coming up in about 15 minutes. NFL Blitz is on the way. The goals were conceding. They look easy, okay? And I want to put that in context. Mm. This is not, you know, 6, 7, 8 passes, and all of a sudden, boom, and it's these goals have looked easy that we're conceding. Why?
Sloppy. I'd say sloppy would be the word, maybe more than easy. The one against Philadelphia, it's a turnover in your own half. And that's the drawback with a lot of possession. You have to be good with it. You have to be good with it on the attacking end because you're going to have the ball a lot. You need to create chances. You have to be good with it on the defensive end. And Atlanta United plays in their own half a good bit. They want to build up their own attacks. When you play in your own half and you lose possession, you're going to be exposed. You're going to have players who have committed to go forward. This has happened before with Atlanta United. Possession's a higher priority now. It's a higher priority to be better with it. They can't have these giveaways in bad spots on the field.
It is Jason Longshore on the WadeFord.com hotline. I mean, on the goal, Eric Rometty. And Eric Rometty's had an awful start to the season. Would you agree?
I wouldn't say he's had an awful start to the season. I think he's the one who looks the most tired at this stage. I would have loved to have gotten him out of there last night. And I don't know what the plan was before Jeff Lorenowitz had a foot injury and he had to be subbed out. Because Rometty, by the end, I mean, the guy's fighting for you. He's doing the best he can do physically. He was not sharp, and he had bad giveaways in the second half. And I honestly put it down to fatigue.
And he's my guy. I'm wearing the jersey. I felt embarrassed. Jason, one last question. We were talking about this with the guys in my section. What about, like, Barco and Shea running simple overlaps? Or, you know, I know we talked last week. Just going over the top. Is that just not what DeBert does?
Well, going over the top, I mean, Barco's not really a guy you want to go over the top with. The overlaps, that's part of a bigger picture about penetration and getting in behind. And when I'm talking overlap, the way I'm talking about it is, look, go back to the first half on the right side. We saw Tito Villalba in possession a couple times, and Julian Gressel made the run to the outside of him down the flank, and he didn't get service. And sometimes you're going to use that as a decoy. Didn't really come off well on that side. On the other side, Barco and Shea, Breck's movement, I thought he was a little tentative at that stage when he came in. I would have loved to have seen him go for it more and make those runs and try to get that service in. I think Barco's a guy is going to reward players for runs they make off the ball. Right. That's why I think more of the attack needs to go through Barco and Nagby when he's on the field, because they reward the movement off the ball.
International break. How will it affect us for fans who are not familiar with this again? Or will it at all? We've got to wait at least 2 weeks, right, until our next MLS contest. How does it affect us?
Well, you're looking at a week where Pity Martinez is off with Argentina, and he's playing in Spain. He's playing in Morocco. Joseph Martinez has one game for Venezuela against Pity Martinez in Argentina in Madrid. You have Tito Villalba with Paraguay. They're in the States. They're playing at Red Bull Arena. They're playing out at Levi's Stadium. They play Mexico and Tata Martino. Andrew Carlton is with the U.S. U-20s trying to earn a spot on their World Cup squad. There's reports that Ezequiel Barco will be called up to Argentina's U-20 squad, and Miles Robinson will be called up for a U-23 pre-Olympic qualifying camp for the U.S. You're going to have a lot of guys resting this week. You're going to have a couple of training sessions, a lot of off days. Next week, you get back into a regular flow. But you're not going to have those guys for many days ahead of the game in Columbus. I think it's the next week where you have that bye between Columbus and New England is where you see the biggest jump for this team forward.
We're not scoring a lot of goals. We understand there's a work in progress, but we're not going to see Frank DeBoer go back to what we saw Tata doing last year. We're not going to be seeing a version of a 5-3-2 or a 3-5-2, I should say. That's just not going to happen.
I'm not so sure about that, to be honest.
Okay.
I think, based off his responses, though, the move that I would think to see when Franco Escobar is available is to a 4-3-3. Not for sure.
Okay.
But he mentioned how he had to go to three in the back when he lost Escobar. I think if he has Escobar, he wants to play him as a right back.
Mm. Jason, appreciate you jumping on with us as always, guys. And you get a little break here as well?
Yeah, a little bit. The twos are off as well, so get to catch up a little bit.
All right. Great deal.
Again, it's just tough because we've been spoiled. I mean, and I don't mean that to be a Weisenheimer. It's been so good, and you know, man, the flowing style, and now it's flowing like mud.
It's starting to flow. I really think it is, but it's not where it needs to be.
No.
And by the time you get to New England, it needs to be there because you have 4 points from these home games that you have to pick up now.
That's the thing, guys. I mean, Philly's not considered one of the elite teams. DC United, who we lost to, they look better. Cincinnati's not embarrassing themselves either as an expansion team.
No.
But still, guys, we are the MLS champs. We got the star on the jersey over our logo for a reason. We're supposed to be really good, and we don't look that. Now, again, hopefully, as I said to you and I were joking around about this 2 weeks ago, we'll be laughing about this come fall or whatever. Or maybe we won't, and maybe Frank DeBoer will do the same thing here that he's done at his last two stops in international soccer.
Yeah, listen.
I just don't know what it is right now. I do not know.
Only time's going to tell. But, you know, everybody keeps talking about give him time. I remember having this discussion on Twitter two matches ago, where, you know, one of our Twitter followers, and I brought it to the air. Oh, Dukes, give him time. I said, how many more matches? Three. We're there.
Now, we have, to Jason's point, we have gotten to that international break, but these guys are, again, some of these star players, because they are star players, will be out there playing for other squads and traveling around the world, as Jason just laid out for you. So let's hope that we regroup, because I know a lot of fans last night, like, we love this team. That's what's, you know, it's such a cool phenomenon because it started here in Atlanta. It's our thing, Carl. You might be from Chicago or Texas or New York, or maybe you are born and raised in Atlanta, but this is one thing we can all get in on the ground floor together with, and it's why there's a passion for it. And we've been so good, and just our second year to excel and do all the amazing things this franchise has accomplished. It's not what we signed up for. Very disappointing.
All right, guys, it's time for our game winner. By the way, tomorrow, Mike and I will be broadcasting live from State Farm Arena as our Hawks honor Atlanta United. College basketball fans, how would you like a chance to win $1,000? Go to our contest page at 929thegame.com and sign up for 929 The Game's March Bracket Challenge, guys. Pick your bracket on the contest page at 92.9 The Game. What's tonight's game winner?
Hey, man, we talked about it with Mike Conte earlier in case you missed it. Guys are paying, what, $1,000 to get an autographed Tom Brady picture? Jeez, I guess he is the GOAT for a reason. All right, guys, heaven forbid you got to get out of your house in a flash. What is the one piece of sports memorabilia you have you cannot part with?
Oh!
There can be only one. In my case, it'll be that autographed Burt Reynolds Florida State helmet. 404-741-0929. On the other hand, I'd have my Lawrence Taylor autographed mini helmet. 404-741-0929. You got to get it out of the house. What is it?
Now, your game time traffic.
I'm Larisha Harris from your Game Time Traffic Center. This report is sponsored by Reliable Heating and Air. Clocking a few crashes for you. The first one in Cobb County, 75 southbound at 285. That crash is blocking a left lane. Another one in DeKalb County, I-20 eastbound near Candler Road. That's also blocking a left lane. Seeing one in Clayton County, 285 westbound at Riverdale Road. That's on the left shoulder, but you might want to approach that area with caution. And we're also seeing one in Gwinnett County, I-85 northbound at Hamilton Mill. That crash is blocking a right lane. Reliable Heating and Air's complete train comfort system now includes free lifetime repair, maintenance, and even filters, all for only $99 a month. No upfront costs and no payments for 3 months. Visit us at ReliableAir.com for more information. From your Game Time Traffic Center, I'm LaRisha Harris on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports memorabilia. As I got to agree with Mike Conte. I think as a grown man, you don't ask for an autograph unless it's for your kid and your kid is right there next to you. Sign my baby's head, Ricky Bobby. But, I mean, as far as actually grown men and autographs, that's a no-go, brother.
Is it really?
Yes, it is.
I disagree. Because I have always said there are guys that you either enjoy watching, you emulate their game, or you want to. And I've always said this. That guy across the street right now, you're going to tell me you wouldn't ask for something? I think today's autograph, Mike, is a picture. And that's what people try to take selfies. You're out with, and you see Michael Jordan. You're not going to try to take a selfie with him? So, either way, what are you saving in the house? If you have one item to save, what are you saving?
All right, let's see what you guys got. Now, of a sports memorabilia variety, obviously your wedding photos, all that. We're talking about sports stuff. If you got some in your dojo. Hey, man, what do you got for us?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Both of my kids collect sports cards, and I hate the Saints, but when I had the chance, I pulled the trigger. So for Christmas, I gave my youngest a one-of-one autographed quad jersey of Drew Brees.
It's not bad. I mean, we do respect Brees.
No, man. He's a future Hall of Famer.
Right. Should have an MVP or two.
Yeah, we don't want him to win and beat our squad, but no, you got to respect what he's done.
Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. You got to save a piece of memorabilia. What are you going to save?
What's happening, fellas?
Hey, man.
Hey, man. So I'm with you on the autograph thing, but I did acquire 4 baseballs when I was younger. I got Hank Aaron, David Ross, Bobby Cox, and Terry Pendleton.
Cool.
How about that?
Nice collection.
Hold on, 44s, man. I told you I've got the 1973 New York Mets NL champion autographed baseball.
Yeah.
That my kid brother played on the street with, which has had a few scuff marks. I'd kill him. You know, and my dad was going to kill him, but my mom stopped him. But anyway.
And by the way, that's a cool item. If you have a championship team and you have an item that the team has signed, usually, you know, you can't tell with all the signatures on there, but like, for example, a bat where your team has won the division or won the World Series. That's one of the coolest items I have, man.
Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. You got to save one piece of stuff. What is it?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
I've got this photo. I got a photograph of this guy walking up to Pete Rose going, "What's happening, Chief?" And Pete hits him in the face and knocks him out.
You know what? We hadn't heard from him in a while.
I was going to say, man, that's a guy that battles the guy who says Chief, who could be on one of the next callers. Hey, man, you're on the radio. Heaven forbid you had to get out of your house quick. What's the one piece of sports memorabilia you're going to save? What you got?
What's happening, Chief?
Doink!
What's going on, man?
Look, Chief, I got a William Andrews signed jersey from 1980. I love that jersey. But one note, I got to ask Carl. I would love to have a jersey of that Saints number one pick from last year.
Marcus Davenport. Yes, sir. I understand.
What do the Saints got? They got a first round pick this year?
No, they don't. They don't have a first round
pick. What do the Saints do?
Marcus Davenport.
You know, just something.
Can't wait for the
draft. You're new to the show. That's our arch rival. It's just something we enjoy doing. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What's a piece of sports memorabilia you'd have to save?
Hey, man. Yeah, what I would get is my state championship ring that I won with the Gainesville Red Elephants in 2012, playing alongside Deshaun Watson.
Hey,
how about that?
That's cool. That's very cool. Congratulations on that.
Yeah, man. See, it's stuff like that. I got to get that out the house.
Right on.
And we're having some fun with this, but we hope you have to never deal with this situation.
Now, my varsity football letter, I could let burn, Carl, because I only played, like, long snap. I never got the uniform dirty once. Hey, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for us? A piece of memorabilia you'd have to save.
Hey, man. Man, I have a framed JSA-certified Todd Gurley game-worn jersey. The house is burning. That's going with me.
I hear you, man. Hold on to that one.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Right on. Did he sign that for you in a parking lot, or did he actually?
That's private, Mike.
Hey, man, you're on the radio, buddy. It's our game winner tonight. Brought to you by Dukes and Bell. Hey, man, Ale.
Hey, man.
Shenanigans in every can. Hey, buddy, what do you got for us?
What's up, Chief?
Hey, Chief.
What's into you folks today?
That's two, Chief. What's a piece of memorabilia you can't lose?
How about a Jim Craig Atlanta Flame.
Oh,
hockey
jersey. Nice. Years ago, Carl, when we had the Thrashers,
yeah, man,
they had Jim Craig and Michael Ruzioni come and speak. It was for season ticket holders, the members of the 1980 Olympic team. Jim Craig, of course, never lived up to the potential coming off the being goalie for the U.S. men's national team drafted by the Atlanta Flames back in the day. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for us? Turn down your radio. You're on the radio. And he hung up. And you're on the radio. And you're on the radio. And you're on the radio. What do you got for us, buddy? A piece of memorabilia you wouldn't want to lose.
1970 Braves autograph ball. Hank Aaron, Henry Aaron.
Done.
Mike Lum.
I'm with you.
Nice. Mike Lum. Oh, you never heard that name. One year, I think in 1975, I might have had 10 Mike Lum double cards. Remember doubles you could never get rid of?
Yeah.
Those are the ones you put in your spokes on your tires.
Henry Aaron. The Henry Aaron autograph, it's interesting, Mike, because, you can find him, obviously, and if you see him and Hank around, even these dates, he'll sign something for you. But, like, in his heyday playing days, I don't know if people realized ultimately what that ball would be worth. That's a great item.
Right on. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. You can only say one piece of sports memorabilia. What you going to do?
Larry Munson autographed football. Don't touch.
Oh, that's awesome. No, that is good. That's great.
That's a really good item, too.
Get that football out of the house. Call the fire department. Hey, you're on the radio, buddy. What do you got for us?
Hey, man.
I've got a mental piece of the starting eight lineup of the Cincinnati Reds for the Big Red Machine.
Ooh. Damn, yeah, that's nice.
Gina.
That's nice.
All right, let's see if we can do it. All right, let's go heyday. Let's see here. Dan Dreesen at first base.
You talking about who's on that Reds team?
I know Dave Concepcion. Bill, you got Joe Morgan at second.
Pete
Rose.
Dusty.
Johnny Bench behind the dish. Cesar Geronimo.
That team was loaded.
Yeah, man. This is the kind of stuff for guys our age, man. The Big Red Machine back in the day, man. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got?
Hey, autograph. 96 Olympic Dream Team program.
Nice.
Dream Team.
How about that?
The 92, he said?
96.
Okay.
96.
Yeah, here it was here, right? Yeah, right. In Atlanta.
That's right, over at the Georgia Dome, man. You're on the radio, buddy. What do you got for us?
Hi, 95, Greg Maddux signed baseball for the Save What I Kids and the Fire.
Hey, man. Well, that's from the World Series that year, too, baby. You know?
That's a good, yeah, man.
Tom Glavine was on the bump.
I'll tell you what's a cool item. I have it. All three Hall of Famers with their name on the baseball.
Nice.
You know, that's hard to come by because you could rarely get them all in the same place.
Right.
That's a cool item.
Hey, man, you got the final word, buddy. A piece of memorabilia you'd have to save. What you got?
Hey, man, I got a baseball bat with the World Series 1995. All the scores engraved on it with every starting player from the 95 Braves on it.
That's sweet.
Yeah, you better not lose that.
Yeah.
Don't let your kid hit fungos with it either.
Hey, man, great job, fellas. We're having some fun today with that. Hey, we'll come back tomorrow. We're at State Farm. We'll tell you what we're talking about, who's going to join the show. And on the way, Andy Bunker, all right, and our man Brian Jordan are down in Orlando for spring training. They've got a special edition programming coming up right after we get done. Stay tuned. It's all on the way.
Now, your game time traffic.
I'm LaRisha Harris from your Game Time Traffic Center. This report is sponsored by the Atlanta International Auto Show. As we wrap your evening commute, seeing a few troubles still bothering you, like that earlier crash in Gwinnett County, I-85 northbound at Hamilton Mill. That crash is blocking a right lane. Highway 124 or 985 northbound can be used as alternates. You're almost up to speed on Georgia 400 northbound. We are seeing some slight delays, though, between 285 and Pitts Road. And other than that, you're smooth sailing 75 northbound into Cobb County from 285 up toward 575. They're coming, Atlanta. Hundreds of spectacular new cars, trucks, and SUVs from over two dozen manufacturers. The Atlanta International Auto Show, Atlanta's Spring Thing, this Wednesday through Sunday, Georgia World Congress Center. For more information, visit GoAutoShow.com. From your Game Time Traffic Center, I'm LaRisha Harris on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Tomorrow, we're chasing Seth Greenberg to talk some NCAA tournament with us. Also, we'll have a chance to talk to Darren Eales. He'll make his weekly visit to the program. Atlanta United president. And Mike and I will ask the questions that need to be asked tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, we're trying to be patient. We're just talking with Caleb, our update guy. He's preaching patience. I punched him in the stomach. But we'll talk to Darren tomorrow about when the Frank DeBoer offense starts clicking.
All right, man, let's head down to Orlando. Joe Patrick, Brian Jordan, and more. What's going on down there, guys?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
What's up, fellas?
What's happening?
What's up, BJ?
What's going on, man? Tell us what you guys
got going on, guys. Well, we had a little golf today. We had fun. First nine holes was pretty good for me. And you know, these guys, Joe and Andy, their booty holes got tight when they were putting. So I did win the first nine, but they blew me away the second nine.
Yeah, Bunker, man. He's like one of those pipsqueaks on tour. He's got that perfect swing, gets it on plane. That boy's good.
All right, man. You guys got a bunch of interviews as well. I know you guys been down there talking to a bunch of guys.
Yeah, a lot of guys, man. Snicker, he could talk your eardrums off, man, which was a lot of fun. You know, Dansby is looking good, guys. He's healthy. So we got a lot to talk about, man. It's going to be fun.
All right, man. Again.
I'm waiting for Andy to talk, man. It's not like I'm supposed to do all the talking. Joe, Andy, let's go.
I figure, you know, people get to hear me every night from 7 to 11. It's not every night we have Brian Jordan in here and Joe Patrick as well for an entire spring training show. Mm. So I'm just going to shut up and let you guys talk. I'm used to talking for 4 hours. You guys are the ones that are the guests. So I'm looking forward to it. It'll be fun.
Excellent stuff, man. Brian is a two sports stud, so he gets to run points. So we'll be listening. Can't wait, man.
All right, man. Joe Patrick, you guys take care down there. Stay tuned, guys. That's on the way. Let's go around the room and clear our throats. Sam Tarley, clear your throat.
ACC getting 3 out of 4 number one seeds. Could you imagine if something like this happened in college?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.